Okay, just for the recording, it's Wednesday the 7th of December 2017 and 2016 even. And this evening, I just want to talk about comfort, the Father's comfort. I think this is a really, really big issue. I think this is a really big thing on God's heart. And it's a topic that we tend to ignore. It's a topic we don't talk about very much, and it's a topic we rather put down as being, you know, for the weak or for the needy. And we don't recognize that actually we all need to be comforted. Comfort is actually mentioned over 180 times in the Bible, which I find fascinating because if you think how many times you've heard someone speak about comfort, it's probably very, very few. But we spend a lot of time talking about other things that are, you know, mentioned in the Bible and are obviously very important, but they're not mentioned anywhere near the 180 times that comfort is mentioned. And so just even from that little statistic, I really believe that comfort is very, very important to our Father and very, very important for us to understand, but more importantly, for us to begin to receive. The dictionary definition of comfort is to bring relief from pain, distress, or affliction, to satisfy and strengthen within, to provide a sense of well-being or quiet enjoyment. And you know, even just reading that definition, it speaks so much to our hearts. You know, comfort is to bring relief from pain or affliction. Comfort is to satisfy us and strengthen us within. You know, comfort provides that sense of well-being or quiet of enjoyment. And yeah, I think my experience is that, you know, many of us live with pain. Many of us carry a lot of pain around in our hearts. And you know, in many instances, we often just learn to cope with it, or we learn to live with it, or we learn to sort of you know, build up defenses against the pain just to see us through. And actually, what we need to do with that is come and receive comfort. It's, you know, to me, it's a real tragedy when we don't receive comfort. Ecclesiastes really sums it up very, very well. I mean, Ecclesiastes is not the sort of book we spend a lot of time reading. We probably only know one or two verses from the middle of Ecclesiastes. But in chapter 4, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he says this about people who do not receive comfort. He says, "Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power, and there was no one to comfort them. So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living, but most fortunate of all are those who are not yet born, for they have not seen all the evil that is done under the sun." You know, what the writer is saying there is really, really stark and shocking. You know, he's saying we're better off dead if we don't receive comfort. If we're not comforted, you know, we might as well not be alive, because receiving comfort is so important. And the writer to Ecclesiastes, he sees all the oppressed people, he sees all the oppression and all the heartache that's going on around him, and he says they've got no one to comfort them. And so to be in this state of comfortless, you know, being without comfort is like, it's not the way we were made to be. It's not how we were meant to live. And it's just speaks so clearly of this empty, desperate way of life. Because in each one of us, I believe we're crying out for comfort. We're crying out to receive comfort. And, you know, it's something that many, many of us have not received because it's not been talked about or it's been perceived as being, you know, weak or whatever. Well, we have this crazy saying, don't we, that we have to get out of our comfort zone. Well, you know, I know what that means and I know how we use it and everything else. But, you know, I like to turn it around the other way and say we need to get back into our comfort zone. You know, we need to get into a place where we are comforted and where we can live comforted. And, you know, whilst I understand the saying, let's get out of our comfort zone and we don't want to settle and all that sort of stuff, I actually think it's much more important to encourage people to get in their comfort zone and live in their comfort zone, live comforted. And because that actually provides us with a whole lot of nourishment in our hearts, and it begins to deal with the pain and the distress and the affliction. And it begins to bring us to that place where we know we have that sense of well-being, or as he put it, as the dictionary puts it, that sense of quiet enjoyment. You know, where we can really say, oh, you know, the pain is beginning to subside and the anguish is beginning to subside, and we're beginning to find that place of security and safety. See, when we've experienced a trauma or a shock, we need to be comforted. You know, however big that shock is, however big that trauma is, you know, whatever the circumstances or the instances are that have caused that trauma, you know, we need to receive comfort. And yeah, for what will be a trauma for one person, you know, may not be a trauma for somebody else. And the thing I think we're particularly good at doing, sadly, sometimes is we belittle another person's trauma because it wouldn't be a traumatic experience to us. And so we kind of think, well, we could cope with that, and therefore, why can't they? And we kind of belittle it, and we treat it a little bit sort of jokingly or whatever. But to that other person, that event or that experience can be very, very real and very, very traumatic. And I think, you know, we just need to be perhaps a little bit more sensitive to one another, that just because we don't feel something as traumatic, that doesn't necessarily mean that someone else won't. And, you know, if they've experienced it as a trauma or a shock, then they need to be comforted. And I think recognizing that in other people gives us that sense of understanding and compassion for one another. Because we deal with things and we respond to things in completely different ways. And, you know, just things just touch us and affect us in different ways. I remember, you know, one time I was in Uganda with a group of people, and we came across a very, very serious road accident, which by any standard was incredibly traumatic. But even within our party of people that were just a few cars behind this accident, we dealt with that differently and we processed it differently. But each one of us needed to receive comfort for that trauma that we'd seen and been through. And the way I kind of see it is like we have this container of our heart, and the trauma settles in this container. And the way I see comfort is it's like it pours down the sides of the container to the bottom, and it fills up the container from the bottom, so that eventually when the comfort level is filled up full, the trauma is sort of overflows and is washed away. And, you know, one of the things I've come to realize about comfort is we need to experience more comfort than the trauma we have experienced. Because if we don't experience more comfort than the trauma, what we end up with is the trauma floating on the comfort rather than being washed totally away. And so whatever the trauma we've been through, whatever the shock we've been through, each one of us will react differently, but we need to have, you know, a greater level of comfort poured into our hearts in order to see the trauma washed away. See, I think we very often limit, you know, receiving comfort to those sort of traumatic events or those shocks that are really profound on our lives. And, you know, we know we need to be comforted. But I think we also need to receive comfort in times when, like, for example, when negative thoughts overwhelm us. You know, we've all experienced this, but those occasions when you can't see something clearly, or you can't sort of see the answer to a problem or an issue, and suddenly your mind and your heart are crowded out with all these negative thoughts, and you know, it's like that wave of negativism can overwhelm you. And it's times like that we also need to go and say, Father, will you comfort me? So that his comfort can come and wash away those negative thoughts. Because if we don't allow his comfort to fill our hearts when those negative things are attacking us, it's those negative things will take a root in our lives and will begin to condition how we feel and how we think and what we believe. But if we can recognize those negative thoughts are beginning to overwhelm us, and if we can see them, if we can catch them early, we can then say, Father, will you fill me with your comfort, so that, you know, your comfort becomes the guiding principle or the guiding source of life to me, rather than all the negative things. Yeah, and another thing that can happen is fear can overwhelm us. You know, it's like fear is a very, very strong force. It's a very, very strong power. And of course, fear is the opposite to love, because John writes in his letter that perfect love casts out all fear. You know, there's no place for fear when we're totally rooted and grounded in love. And the thing about fear is it takes us off into a pathway that just destroys our peace, and we lose a sense of, you know, who we are. You know, fear basically eats away at us and, you know, causes us to become in that uncomfortable or that comfortless place. And I think when, you know, when we find that we are, that fear is beginning to overwhelm us, then we just need to come to Father and say, Father, will you pour your comfort into my heart, so that your comfort gives me that sense of security, your comfort gives me that sense of peace, and once again I can be centered on the truth rather than distracted by the lies of the enemy. Because basically the enemy wants to sow lies into our heart that draw us away from who we really are. And when that happens, it just causes our peace to go, and you know, we really, really become very unsettled inside. And fear destroys that sort of intimacy we have with the Father. And you know, if we can just recognize it and say, Father, I'm struggling with fear. Will you pour your comfort into my heart? One of the things I noticed quite a bit last week when I was at INS and doing the teaching and just helping people sort of think about coming back home and having been away on a beautiful island for 3 months was just to you know, help them think about some of the uncertainties that they were going to face when they came home. For many people, they didn't have a job. A number of people didn't have a home to go back to. Some people weren't even sure which country they were going to be settling back into because of, you know, changes and so on. And there were all these uncertainties crowding into their thinking and becoming very, very real, because like in a week's time or whenever, they were going to have to get on an airplane and come back home, and they weren't sure what their family were going to think about them. They weren't sure what their friends were going to think. They weren't sure, you know, what they were going to do for employment or anything else. And one of the things I really encouraged them to do, and we prayed for them, was that, you know, they would be able to receive comfort, so that the comfort would, you know, replace the uncertainty, and the comfort would give them a sense of security and certainty and faith and trust in their Heavenly Father, rather than sort of looking at and relying on the external circumstances that were so very, very real. And, you know, I think many of us can be faced with uncertainties just in day-to-day life, you know. And if we're not careful, those uncertainties can become too big and they can begin to overwhelm us. And we need to come back to Father and say, Father, will you pour comfort into my heart? You know, we think we only need to receive comfort for our past pains and wounds. But, you know, that's true. But I really believe that we need to continually receive comfort so that we live in comfort, which goes beyond the healing of our past pains and wounds. But it begins to give us a foundation for the uncertainty of life. So that, you know, what we tend to do is what we tend to do very often, I know I do this, is you get to the end of a day and you think of all the circumstances that have happened in that day, and you say, oh, Father, that was a difficult day. You know, it was a difficult day at work. It was a difficult day in the family. You know, there might have been financial pressures or so on. And we get to the end of the day and say, Father, I've had a difficult day. Will you comfort me? And, you know, that's very valid to do. But how about starting the day before any of those things happen and saying, Father, will you comfort me so that I go out into this day with a foundation of comfort in my life? So that when those things happen, we've got the comfort in our heart to ride the wave, rather than getting to the end of the day and saying, oh, Father, here I am exhausted, but fill me with your comfort. You know, let's start the day with a reservoir of comfort that gives us a foundation to deal with those things as they come up. See, the more comfort we receive, the more favour we will be led into. And, you know, that comfort, that foundation of comfort in our lives will release us to try new things and to have a go at new things. And even if they don't work out the way we thought they would, we'll be able to ride through that because we've got a foundation and a strength of the Father's comfort behind us. And, you know, if we live from a reservoir of comfort, you know, I believe that we become empowered to follow our heart where, you know, into new areas where perhaps fear would have kept us back in the past. You know, I think one of the things about comfort is comfort gives us that opportunity. Living in comfort, receiving comfort daily, it gives us an opportunity to experience the Father fathering us and being a father to us in so many different circumstances of life. You know, it's like when we know that we're comforted, and when we know that His love is surrounding us, when we know that we're safe and secure, it's like it just gives us that sort of confidence in it may be, just to sort of live more and more. But yeah, I think what I was saying before I got cut off was, you know, the more comfort we receive, the more we live in comfort, the more opportunities we have to be fathered by our Heavenly Father, the more opportunities there are for God to be a father to us and to give us the strength and the enabling to cope with every day and to cope with everyday living. You know, it gives us permission to explore the promised land, which is our daily living. You know, that's the inheritance we've been given, that we can be fathered in the mundane and in the routine. See, if we don't have that foundation of comfort in our lives, we, you know, the day can be a struggle, and we can get to the end of the day and we can think, oh, Father, just come. But if we start off each day living in his comfort and going out of in comfort, then we'll be living with that sense of belonging, that we're knit to our Heavenly Father. And when we receive comfort like that, when we live in comfort, when we have that reservoir of comfort, that enables us to give comfort to other people. You know, Paul writes in Corinthians that we comfort others with the comfort with which we ourselves have received. You know, we receive comfort and then we are able to give that comfort, not our own comfort, but we give the comfort that we've received away. See, if we haven't received comfort, then all we are doing is being sympathetic and empathetic with other people. And that's great. You know, people need sympathy, they need empathy, they need understanding. And that can be a really important part of caring for and getting alongside other people. But you see, that's all we can do if we haven't received comfort. But if we have received comfort and if we're living in comfort, then we'll be able to give away the comfort that we've received in our time of need, in our time of trouble. We'll be able to give that comfort away to other people around us. And, you know, I think that's really pretty much all I wanted to say this evening. And then just hopefully just spend some time in a moment or two just praying for us, that the Father would pour his comfort into our lives. Because when we live in comfort, we live in peace. And the peace that the Father wants us to live in is a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that goes beyond our mind. It's a peace that goes beyond our circumstances. It's an inner peace that comes from him. And I believe we live in peace when we live in comfort. And many of us can probably say, you know, that really there's not a lot of peace in our day-to-day lives. Well, I encourage you to keep receiving comfort, keep living in comfort, and that will bring you into a place of peace. And when we live in peace, we live in rest. And when we live in rest, we live in freedom. And that's the inheritance that the Father has for his sons and daughters. I've frozen again. Ah! Looks like I've frozen again.